Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List, episode 101. I am Fumi Simano, joined by two wonderful, wonderful gentlemen, Tom Chuba and Mark J. Parker.
Hi, everybody. Episode 101.
Yep.
101. We are going to have a great show for you guys today. We're going to do our usual housekeeping and headlines, and then we're going to get into our list. And then we've got a fun little Tom's Trivia, but we're going to turn the tables on y'all. Ooh. And not make it so like you've heard it in the past. Ah. But you'll have to wait to see what happens.
Ooh, the mystery. Mm-hmm.
The mystery of it. But first things first, let's get into some housekeeping. Who would like to go first?
Ooh, Tom.
Tom.
All right.
Tom, what do you got?
Well, I feel like it would be a major disservice to our listeners if we didn't give them a Scream 5 update. We've been talking about the development of that film all along. Courtney Cox has now officially signed on. It has been announced.
Yes. So you can't do Scream without Gail. Come on.
No. So we got David slash Dewey, and now we have Courtney slash Gail. And the question remains, when and if they're going to announce Nev slash Sydney? What do you guys think? Do you think she's a part of the script?
I think she's a part of it, but I feel like they want to save it and make it a surprise.
You know,
so
yeah.
If we don't hear her, then she definitely is in the movie. Like, I feel like that's a given, but it'll be like a surprise cameo or something.
Oh, you think it might only be a cameo? Wow.
I have a feeling it's going to be a small role.
You think? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I haven't really thought much about her role size, but I have a feeling they might announce like Neve Campbell's on it like the same day they announce like they're now filming. Like they're just going to keep her quiet until it's like cameras are now rolling in North Carolina. And guess who's here? You know what I mean? Which will be fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Whenever it gets off the ground, who knows?
I know, because they wanted October. I don't know if that's going to happen now. And how funny, right? Because I sent you guys the character breakdown, and that casting breakdown said they wanted to shoot and have it wrapped by July 1st. So, I mean, they wanted it to go. So it's so interesting how everything's just, like, stalled. But so I think Nev is signed on. They just are waiting, right? They want to just really drop a big bomb at the right time. You know?
Yeah. But speaking of that character breakdown, I don't know. It left a lot to desire from me. Costco? The main characters work at a Costco-esque store? Really?
I know. It feels too...
I have no idea what you guys are even talking about. Did we share the character breakdown?
Yeah, girl.
Yes.
I missed it.
Oh, my gosh. Two of the lead characters. So here's the thing. This is how it seems to be going. So it doesn't say it's in Woodsboro, but I think we can assume they're going to keep it in Woodsboro, which I don't know if we need to go there again so soon. But, yeah, it's a bunch of teens, a bunch of high schoolers. But then there's, like, a girl comes back to town who's, like, early 20s, and her boyfriend and she work at a Costco. So it's kind of like, Costco, really? It just feels so average America for a Scream movie, but I mean, you could do it.
Costco isn't sexy to you?
I gotta be honest.
I mean, there could be some good kill scenes in a Costco, but...
I mean, there could be a good chase scene in Costco, especially after hours. I'm thinking, like, you know, but it's Costco. Like, it just seems like a comedy setting to me than a scary movie setting. But I don't know. Maybe we're totally wrong and it's going to be great. I'm just a little nervous too, Tom. Some fan on Instagram made this great illustration of like Ghostface towering over a Costco. And I literally typed, ha, 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 ha. It just feels kind of like, huh, Woodsboro. You know, like would Sydney have ever worked at a Costco? I don't think so, but whatever.
Mark, what do you have?
So, some housekeeping news that I know got us really excited. I'm sure everyone's heard by now, but you haven't heard our take on it. Mulan is officially not going to be in theaters. It is going to Disney Plus in just a matter of a couple weeks.
September 4th.
Can't wait. I'm excited.
Labor Day weekend, y'all, is going to be really interesting because that...
Go be popping.
That is when Tenet is apparently going to be released in theaters. right? Because AMC is officially opening theaters August 20th.
This is what I heard, and then I also heard that, are they opening in New York? Because somebody told me they're opening in L.A., and I was like, I don't think so.
That would be shocking.
I don't think they're opening in New York.
I don't think they can open in LA and California with the COVID numbers, right?
Yeah. Well, I have to be honest, you guys. I'm very confused as to what's happening in this state. It's very weird.
Oh, God. Weird. Scary. So yeah, I don't know. Apparently, Labor Day weekend, we are supposed to see some big movies in theaters, but Disney said, you know what? Mulan is going to Disney Plus, but for $29.99. It will not just be, I don't want to say free. I mean, you're paying for Disney Plus, but it's going to be a special premium rental fee. So what do you guys think about
that? And see, I think it's a smart decision for Disney Plus. I think it's families are going to love this. Yeah. Love it, cuz they're going to save like $100 on movie tickets.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I know for like if you're single or if you're a couple and you don't have kids, it might be a little bit more on the pricey side, but think about the average family of 4 or 5 who normally would have to spend, mm-hmm. you know, $20 to $25 per ticket to see a movie in the theater and then also get the snacks at the concession. Uh-huh. This is saving them a shit ton.
And if you're single, hopefully you're sharing a Disney Plus account like we are, because we can split the cost of the rental. Hey, everyone, let us know if you want in on that. I'll give you the password. So, yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's great. I haven't really heard much of a backlash, but I wonder if there will be some sort of backlash that it's like, of course, you're releasing an Asian film on streaming and not in theaters. But I don't.
Nobody can go to the movies.
Yeah, it's not like we can really do that anyway. And honestly, you can enjoy this, I'm sure, epic, great, exciting movie just from the comfort of home. Like, yeah, let's do it, right? So that is going to Disney Plus. Antebellum, which is a movie we are really excited about.
I will gladly pay $19.99 for that.
Yeah, is that going to be $19.99, Tom? Yeah,
I don't think they've announced it yet, but that's going to be my guess.
It's probably going to be around $19.99, yeah. So that'll be regular VOD. It won't be attached to any streamer like
Take
Mulan.
Money.
I hear you. Yep. I'm so excited. I'm actually more excited now for the movie to just watch it at home. Because absolutely, yes, of course. I'll gladly watch
Janelle Monáe. Now we just need Candyman to do it, too.
I know. So, yeah, we'll hear about that.
I'm sure they will eventually.
But, yeah, as of right now, Tenet is supposed to come out Labor Day, and Unhinged, that Russell Crowe movie that will not quit, is coming out in a few days, August something. So, whatever. And then, of course, we have Bill and Ted Face the Music with Keanu Reeves. That'll be on demand as well. So, a good mix of, like, on demand at home and theatrical if you are brave enough or dumb enough to go to the theater.
Dumb enough.
Yeah.
You also have some headlines.
Why don't you go right into it? Thank you. I have some headlines. Guys, we got to talk. All right. So, breaking news. Well, breaking news to me. I'm a little delayed. I guess it came out as of this recording yesterday. But, you know, weekends, who knows what goes on in my world. So, you guys know we love Clueless. At least Fumi and I do. Tom, he secretly loves it. All right. Well, sure. Guess what? It's headed to Peacock. And I'm not talking the movie. I'm talking they are rebooting the movie as a new teen comedy series. Okay?
I don't know about this either. I felt this same way because, you know, they're doing the same thing for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They're doing a drama version of it.
Weird.
On one of the platforms. I can't remember which one off the top of my head, but it's probably, I would say HBO Max, I'm sure. I feel like when you're talking about a classic like a Clueless or a Fresh Prince, where it like is ingrained in us, right? Like these are movies that we grew up with, shows we grew up with. It's like really hard to reinvent that wheel because they're damn near perfect.
I know. I mean, it's really the way they are. It's a part of American culture for real. So this is a little risky, and as we know, there was a Clueless TV version of the movie with everyone except Alicia and Paul Rudd, and it lasted maybe a season. So I don't know if we want to do that, but get this, guys.
Was crazy Stacey Dash in it too?
Oh, she was in it. It was, and Brittany Murphy wasn't in it. It was Stacey Dash. It was a different girl as Cher, and then they made Amber like the third girl. So they just didn't have a tie. But get this, guys. So the Clueless reboot is not centered on Cher. Cher is apparently missing. So I guess this is like a mystery comedy dramedy. It's all about.
I thought it was centered around Dion.
It's all about Dion. Yes, which I like that idea, but Cher's missing. Like, so we're doing like a mystery. So here is.
Oh, you mean like she's like a missing person?
Oh, she's a missing person. Here. At least that's what I got from this synopsis from NBC Universal. Here we go. A baby pink and bisexual blue tinted, tiny sunglasses wearing, oat milk latte and Adderall fueled look at what happens when Queen Bee Cher disappears and her lifelong number two, Dion, steps into Cher's vacant Air Jordans. I didn't know Cher wore Air Jordans. This is a new share. I haven't met her yet. How does Dion deal with the pressures of being the new most popular girl in school while also unraveling the mystery of what happened to her best friend?
So is this like a Veronica Mars maybe. Clueless mashup?
Maybe. And I mean, that sounds kind of good, but like, what? I don't know. I wonder if this sort of sounds a little inspired by Riverdale, since that started with a like murder mystery. So I wonder if that's what they're doing, but I had to share that with y'all because, of course, I'm excited, but I'm also very nervous about this. I don't know about this. So that's headline one. Headline two, also brought to you by the 90s. We never got a chance to talk about it, but it's been on my radar for a while. Back when it was Fox, before Fox was Disney, they were making a trilogy of Fear Street movies. Fear Street from the R.L. Stine books from our youth that I loved. And so they have shot the three movies all before COVID. They were supposed to actually be released this summer. I guess there was a little bit of a delay once Fox, of course, became Disney, right? But so Disney has sold those three films to Netflix, which I thought was very interesting. And rumor has it that maybe the movies are a little too scary for Disney's, you know, brand, which is interesting.
I doubt that.
You think?
Same.
You think? I don't know. Fear Street, R.L. Stine can get a little weird. And I mean,
I loved those books.
I mean, the Goosebump movies were scary as a kid, but like they were supposed to be like...
Those Goosebump movies with like Jack Black, I think were
No, no,
scary.
I'm talking about the ones from the 90s, like the Haunted Mask.
Oh, like the TV show. Yeah. Uh-huh, totally. I mean, yeah, some of them were scary. So, yeah, rumor is that like some people are reporting maybe it was too scary and Disney realized this is not our brand. So they have sold it to Netflix, which... You all know what I'm going to think. I think that's a very smart choice. And so they will be released next summer on Netflix. All three movies, I think one a month, and it will be Netflix's Summer of Fear. And
it's I'm surprised they didn't just put it on Hulu.
Because Disney. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Maybe they figured they would get more money from Netflix since Disney owns most of Hulu. Maybe it's not a good financial thing for them, you know? But yeah, so that's kind of exciting. Kind of a bummer that we have to wait a whole year, but that'll be fun to watch a fun R.L. Stine movie a month for Netflix's Summer of Fear in 2021. And that's all I got from the 90s.
Well, that's it for housekeeping and headlines.
Okay, you know what that means. Are you guys ready? Thomas and Fumi, it is episode 101. Are you ready to share your lists?
I am.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay, people, this is the time when if you're like, what do I want? What do I want to watch tonight? Oh, is this good? Have you heard anything about this? Well, you have come to the right podcast. We will tell you what is good, what is bad, what is great, and what is a skip that shit. Let's see if we have any of that tonight. I don't know. Let's start with, how about Fumi? You go.
All right. So the first thing on my list is a movie that I've been wanting to check out for a minute, and I decided to finally watch it. It's called Vivarium.
Yes.
And it is a sci-fi horror-type movie with Imogen Potts and Jesse Eisenberg. I watched it on Hulu.
I think it's Amazon.
I think.
Is it Amazon?
Or maybe Amazon. Mm-hmm. I think it's on both, actually.
Okay.
But I think I watched it on Hulu.
Okay, maybe.
I don't remember now. Maybe. But regardless. So, basically, Imogen Potts and Jesse Eisenberg play a young couple who are interested in house hunting. They want to buy a home. You know, they're at that stage in their relationship and they're ready to settle down and put down some roots. And they've had some trouble finding something. Well, you know, the market. Mm-hmm. It's realistic. So they, Imogen Potts' character meets a man who basically tells her that she should come to this neighborhood to check out this home. And they're driving there. And when they get to the neighborhood, they're a little, like, freaked out by it. It's a little too cookie cutter. Like, you know, remember the opening theme to Weeds?
Yep.
It was, like, all the little boxes.
Yeah.
It's very much that, but except this place, they're all exactly the same color, the same look.
Yes.
It's very creepy.
It's freaky.
Very, very freaky. And so they are rightfully not interested in the house. And so things really start to kick off in the movie when they leave. And they say, thank you for your time. We're going to, you know, go. We'll let you know what we decide. And as they're driving along and trying to get out of the cul-de-sac in the neighborhood, they keep coming back to the house number 9, which is the one that they were shown. And every single time they try to go away again, they keep turning back around in number 9. And then Jesse Eisenberg character gets all huffy. Well, you clearly don't know how to drive, little lady. So get him the passenger seat and I'll drive and get us out of the neighborhood. But then he does, and they still keep coming back to the house number 9. So at this point, they start to rightfully get freaked out. And this is when really when the movie kicks off, and it turns out that they are not able to leave. They get a mysterious box sent to them that basically says you have to, like, raise a child, and then you'll be, quote-unquote, released. And this is where, you know, the interesting aspects of the movie start to happen. And I don't want to tell too much because I really did enjoy this. This is a complete add it to your list.
I agree. Okay.
This was such a great movie. It was very interesting, very fascinating, a really different take on a psychological horror type movie. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I put myself in their shoes and really kind of thinking, like, how do you react when you're basically essentially trapped? Like, an afternoon with your significant other that you think is going to be something exciting and fun, where you're going to go look at a house and then maybe be on your merry way, get lunch, go on about your life. And you're stuck at this place, and you have no idea when you're going to be able to get out, if you're going to leave. Like, the psychological toll it takes on you, very well done.
Yeah, it's very dark.
Very well done. Did you see it?
Oh, I loved it. I saw it. It's funny. I rented it on Redbox only like a month ago, and then I'm like, oh, my God, this is on Prime. But I agree with him. I loved it.
It's so, so good. So it's directed by Lorcan Finnegan, and it's a really good runtime, like, Tom, fits into your nice, comfortable little 90 minutes. This is not an American film. I think this was like a co-production by a bunch of European, Ireland, Denmark, Belgium, I think. But it's so, so well done. It's so good. So Imogen Potts plays Gemma. Jesse Eisenberg plays Tom. They are a couple, and it's just great. I mean, add it to your list. Watch it. Wait for a weekend night. Turn the lights down and just really kind of get immersed into this. Yeah. It's so good.
And parts are actually like scary and twisted and
yes,
some great
the
acting.
The little kid.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes. So creepy.
There's a lot of good voice work and the acting all around was great. And it's really basically a city person's absolute nightmare. Like getting stuck in the suburbs, going through the motions. It's bleak, baby.
And the way that they like the couple start to like attack each other for the little things, the little nuances that they try to do to like get help and like get out.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. It's really, really, really done. It's just done so, so
it's
well.
Like a great.
I was really surprised that I hadn't heard about it before it kind of popped up on.
Oh, really? Okay.
On Prime.
I had heard about it for a while because I guess it was on like iTunes and a lot of people on Facebook that I'm friends with were like, oh, Vivarium. But I had heard such mixed things because a lot of people think it's way too dark and just.
It's dark.
It's heavy. Yeah. So a lot of people.
And it doesn't leave you happy, but it doesn't leave you sad. It's kind of an ambiguous. It's an ambiguous ending, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So I definitely can understand, like, especially with like the way we all are living right now, like a lot of people, and I totally get this because I'm like this too. I want to watch happy things because we're just living in a clusterfuck right now. But this was an interesting take on a psychological.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing on my list, which is only fitting because obviously I had to do it, was a Netflix movie.
No.
Called The Lost Husband. This is really cute. It's an added to your list as well. It stars Leslie Bibb and Josh Duhamel.
Oh, I saw that poster. God, hotties. What a great couple.
So adorable. So it basically stars Leslie Bibb. She is a young mother who recently lost her husband, and so she uproots her life and her kids to go move in with her aunt. And she has to learn how to, like, work on a farm and, like, readjust her life now that her husband is gone. And Josh Duhamel is, like, the farmhand who helps out on the farm. They have really good chemistry. I wouldn't say that this is a straight up, this is not a rom-com in any way, shape, or form. I thought that there might have been more of, like, a rom-com element to it. But it was really more so, like, the story of Leslie Bibb and her dealing with the death of her loved one and her trying to, like, you know, become who she was before that again. And Josh Duhamel is in the movie, but I wouldn't even say that he's like the second headliner, even though he is. Like, this Leslie really carries this movie on her on her own. But it's definitely an ad. They have good chemistry together. It's really cute. I really liked the way that Leslie acted in this as well. And check it out. It's on Netflix. It's, I think it's like in the top trending right now. So,
wow.
I mean, it's cute. It's a cute, 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 cute movie for sure.
Nice. That's great. Like a cute, like dramedy, it sounds like, or drama.
I wouldn't even say, well, yeah, it's a dramedy.
All right.
It's cute. Watch it.
Okay. Okay, Tom, your turn.
All right. I've got two things on my list as well. The first, I've been dying to talk about this for a minute because I binged the whole thing. I came to the party late on HBO Succession, but I am here to stay at that party for as long as it wants to be on air. Let me tell you guys, Succession is fucking awesome.
I misheard you. I was like, oh, do you not like it? Okay.
Oh, no.
You want to stay in it. Great.
Oh,
okay.
I want to stay in this party. Yeah, it is deserving of all the Emmy nominations that it just racked up. Nice. It's an add this to your list. Check it out if you have not done so. So it is two seasons in, 10 episodes each, so they're about 20 episodes in. HBO had just started filming season 3 when COVID hit, and production has yet to resume. So I'm hoping that it does very soon, because having it not on air for a long time kind of makes me sad. So, Succession. It is basically, Brian Cox plays the patriarch of a family, and he is also a huge media mogul for a very, very conservative media company, right? So a lot of people say that it's loosely based on Rupert Murdoch and Fox. Mm. Possibly so. You know, having seen Bombshell, I don't know that there are direct correlations, but yeah, many could say that the character, Brian Cox's character, is very much based on that. So they're a fucked up family, right? They have more money than God. They're all, nepotism is rampant at this company. They're all entrenched in the company. The one son, has struggles with addiction issues. The other son, played by Kieran Culkin, who is actually really fucking awesome. He's definitely, there's like a sense of Asperger's. He just does not, there's something, like, he just does not do well in social situations, and he has no filter. No matter the situation he's in, Sarah Snook plays the daughter of the family, who is actually, she's not working in the company. She has political aspirations, and she's also a liberal, which is very much against the conservative family's mold and makeup. So she's kind of the black sheep of the family. And it just, it takes you inside the, you know, the makings of this company and the fucked up shit that they do, guys. And I have to tell you, as somebody who works in corporate America, it's some of the situations that arise are really not that far-fetched. So kudos to the writers. Sad to say. Kudos to the writers. They really do capture what it's like to be in corporate America and be in those boardrooms and, you know, have those crises come up and be in the boardrooms and try and make problems go away. Yeah, Will Ferrell is an executive producer of the show, which I thought is super interesting, as is Adam McKay. That should be no surprise because of his involvement with the Big Short.
The Big Short. And did they also produce Bombshell?
Yeah, I believe they did, yeah.
They maybe did. Okay, yeah. And now, Tom, I remember we were talking a little bit about this when you were visiting a couple weeks ago. I've heard it's a little like Shakespearean in
Yeah, one of the characters is your textbook example of a Shakespearean tragedy, you know. Definitely check it out. I'm surprised both of you haven't yet. Fumi, I think you would really, really like it. Mark, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's on my list.
It's definitely on my list, yeah, for sure. I've heard nothing but great things. And what do you think, Tom, based on what you've seen, do you think it could win Best Drama this year?
I do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I do.
All right. Yep. Better than Ozark? Because I know you've been watching Ozark.
It is a better show than Ozark, yeah. It's a little more engaging to me. Ozark is a slow burn. Succession is not. It's very, very fast-paced. It's one of those shows where you really have to pay attention. There's a lot of conversation. There's a lot of dialogue. A lot of it is corporate lingo. So it's not the kind of show that you could be watching, you know, and scrolling on your phone at the same time.
Ah, gotcha. Cool. Okay. Awesome.
Second thing on my list is a Netflix Italian miniseries called Il Processo, or the English translation is The Trial. This is also an add this to your list. 8 episodes. Nice and quick, beautiful scenery of Italy. I mean, what more can you ask for? Mm. It's essentially about a prosecutor in a small town in northern Italy, a town that actually was hit really, really, in real life, was really hard hit with coronavirus because, you know, Italy was smacked well before we were. It's about this woman who's a prosecutor in this small town where a murder happens. And she's trying to figure out who did it and trying to get somebody convicted for the crime. But the interesting twist is, and I'm not giving anything away because you do find this out in the first episode. But what makes it interesting is that she finds out that the teenage girl's body who shows up floating in the river is the body of a daughter that she gave away for adoption when she became pregnant out of wedlock as a teenager.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Drama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And so the main relationship in the show, in the series, is her. And then, you know, the attorney on the other side of the argument. And they have a back and forth. They kind of have some sexual chemistry and tension, kind of, sort of, but kind of not really. So it makes for some good drama. And I was pretty surprised by who ended up doing it and how they figured it out in the end. So it kept me on my toes.
How did you hear about
it? I was going to say the same thing, Foom. Yeah, where'd you find it? Like,
friends in Italy have been posting about it on Facebook.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And now, is it a miniseries, or you think there'll be more seasons?
They haven't announced it. The actor, one of the actors, Francesco Scianna, who I showed you a picture of his hair, Mark. Yeah, he's a cutie. I was very disappointed that he didn't take clothes off for that series. Anyway, he has made a couple of videos for social alluding to the fact that, hey, fans, if you want a season two, get vocal, get loud. Maybe Netflix will do a season two. So I don't think there's any firm decision on that yet. But it could stand alone. It could stand alone as a miniseries.
Is this strictly in Italian, or were there subtitles, or is it dubbed? Or
It's strictly Italian, but you could turn on the subtitles feature. Or you could watch it dubbed, which that's never been my thing.
Never been my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But check it out. I liked it.
Wow. And say it one more time, Tom.
The trial?
No, the Italian version.
Oh, il processo, which means the trial. The process.
Il processo.
With Francesco Scianna.
Wow.
Francesco Scianna.
Well, back to the American stuff.
Wow.
Wow. No, that sounds amazing. I will watch it just to go on a little trip in my living room. Well, thanks, guys. So I have a few things to talk about. I technically have three things, but I'm going to make it really, really, really fast. Don't worry. First up, guys, is the new Shudder movie Host.
Oh,
I know you've watched it.
Yes.
Foom, have you watched?
No.
Oh, girl, you are going to watch tonight.
Fucking good.
Okay, everybody.
Really?
Oh, guys, it's good.
And
it's
56 good. Minutes at that.
Yes. It's technically a short
film. Oh, my God.
It's technically a short film. So let me tell you a little bit about Host. I don't want to overhype it because I'm sure I don't want Foomy to be like, yeah, that's fine. Like, you know, because I didn't know a whole lot about it. So I want to be very careful with how I word it. But Host, first of all, I have to give it up for the director, Rob Savage, and the producers. It only took 10 weeks from idea to distribution. I don't know how they did that. Maybe they had
during a pandemic.
Deal. Yes, during a pandemic. And it was all actually shot like in March and
April. Say that again. 10 weeks from idea to distribution.
Yes. Absolutely, Foom. And I am also like, wait. How can you tell me how you do that? I assume, I don't know any info. I would love, apparently Rob Savage, the director, has been tweeting a lot of fun behind the scenes stuff. So don't go to his Twitter unless you've seen the movie. But I assume he had some sort of deal or connection to Shudder. But yeah, that is unheard of, everyone, to go from idea to an actual movie available to the masses in 10 weeks.
Was the script written already?
I don't think so. I think they wrote it. Now, I'll tell you the story, and you'll probably understand why. Maybe it didn't take super long to write the script. And honestly, maybe the script was very light and a lot of it was improv. I'm not quite sure. But so the story for Host is, and like Tom said, it's only 56 minutes. The whole time, we are on Zoom with a group of friends.
Oh.
And it's kind of crazy because this was just like my group of friends where we have like, you know, weekly hangouts. And so they're doing their hangout. It's a bunch of girls and one guy. I do wish the guy was gay, just because that would be a little bit more fun, but he's straight. That's just a side note. But it's a group of friends.
Ew.
I know. It's like, ew, straight white man? Like, get the fuck off my TV. But no. So it's a bunch of girls, mostly, and they are doing a seance on Zoom because one friend
with
has
a medium.
Been, with a medium, yes. One friend has invited a medium to this chat. She's super serious. She's been kind of witnessing, as you see in the beginning of the film, some weird stuff going on in her apartment. And I don't know where they all are. That's, a lot of them are British, but then I think she's American, so I guess it's all over the place. But so they bring in a medium, and she's very normal, very calm, but some of the friends think this is silly, and they start kind of making fun of what's going on, and then shit gets wacky.
Ooh!
Like, real wacky. Like, yes. And some of the effects that they achieve with this are just out, like Paranormal Activity kind of effects, like outrageous.
You guys got me all excited.
Yes. So if you don't have Shudder, how did you watch, Tom? Because I have Shudder.
I downloaded the free for the third time. I guess Amazon doesn't block the amount of times that you can download Shudder for free.
That is hilarious.
Wow, okay.
Oh my god.
But I did the free
funny.
Trial again of Shudder on Amazon, and then the next great. Day I just. Took it right
just
off.
Can't.
But,
oh, wow. So yeah. I'm surprised you don't want to keep Shudder for a little bit. I feel like you don't want to see some of the horror. No?
Girl, I am maxed out on my subscription.
All right. I know. I don't know. I still love Shudder. I kind of love how they have, like, good stuff and, like, awful stuff from the past. It's so fun. But so, yes, it's 56 minutes, so it does move fast. I would not say any of this is slow. And, man, it is tense. Great acting. Great, great acting. It, like Tom said, it's like a new version of Paranormal Activity meets Blair Witch. There's a lot of snot. Meets Unfriended a few years ago.
There's a lot of snot.
So just, sorry, everyone. Greg, actually, I love this movie so much. Obviously, it's an add this to your list. I love this movie so much, I watched it twice. Because the first time, Greg somehow fell asleep while all these people are screaming at full volume on the TV. But he had a few drinks, so don't worry. He was like, oh, yeah, you really want me to watch it? I was like, yes. He turned it on. I said, great, I'm watching it again. That's how much I like it. I rarely watch something again so soon. Great acting, lots of tears, lots of snot. It is Paranormal Activity meets Blair Witch meets, yes, Tom, Unfriended from a few years ago, which I liked Unfriended. Mm-hmm. I thought that
was
good.
Original.
A video chat, crazy movie. This is a little less loud and kind of douchey, I think because it is a group of, you know, young women. But, man, amazing effects. I was thinking about it for a while. Watch Host.
It's
Get
scary.
That free trial. It is scary. And like I said, I cannot wait to dig into behind-the-scenes trivia.
Are the stars that we would know?
Nope.
They're all unknowns? Okay.
Nope, I didn't know them, and I thought
I
that was great.
That.
I really felt like, you know, you're on Zoom with friends. The whole thing is in Zoom. I was about to say something, but I don't even want to give that away. So that's all I'm going to say, okay, everybody? Don't watch the trailer. Try to not watch anything. I think really go into it blind and just enjoy that it's just a Zoom conversation and things get weird. Okay, so that's Host.
Okay.
Second thing, also kind of dark and scary, is the recent HBO show I'll Be Gone in the Dark. Did you watch this, Foom? I feel like this is sort of up your alley, too.
Wasn't this about the Green Pat State
Oswald.
Killer?
The Golden State Killer, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Green State.
Not so green, more golden.
Yes, I watched the first episode.
Oh, you didn't like.
No, I'll go back to it eventually. It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Yes.
There's so much to
watch. This show especially also is not really, like Tom was saying earlier, like this is the kind of show where you kind of need to focus. There's a lot going on. Because, mm-hmm. And I think some people don't like that. It worked for me, but I do have to say it felt like two shows in one, and I was sort of going back and forth, and I couldn't really keep track of everything, right? So I'll Be Gone in the Dark is a docuseries, really well shot, beautiful shots, very scary lighting. Like, they do great stuff with their recreation element to this show. There's very little of it, but, like, just lighting in the trees, it spooked me out. So the Golden State Killer, in case anyone didn't know, so Michelle McNamara, she passed away a few years ago, and it's really interesting. The book basically killed her, which I didn't really know. Yeah, so you'll learn.
I didn't know that.
You'll learn more about that. And I mean, that was reported, but like she basically was so deep into writing this book about the Golden State Killer, and she was basically a citizen detective. She was doing more than any police did in decades, because the Golden State Killer was around in the 70s and 80s. So years later, she was doing way more work than she should have as a regular citizen. And she was in it so deeply and self-medicating to wake herself up and to put herself to sleep because she was having nightmares that she passed away. And so Patton Oswalt was her husband. He produces it. He's in every episode. He's doing interviews. It's actually quite touching as the show goes on. It shows him there at book signings and all that. And he's very much a part of the show, which is really nice. But yes, so I say that. It sounds great. It is a little bipolar of a show because you're watching all the good, scary, true crime stuff. There's tons of interviews with real victims who survived the rapes. You're really seeing a whole bunch of that stuff, old footage that they remastered, and it looks beautiful from the 70s. It's crazy. But then you're seeing all the personal stuff that was going on in Michelle McNamara and Patton Oswalt's life. So just keep that in mind. You're going to kind of have whiplash, and there were times where I was like, wait, what? Because one thing that I understand why they did it, but it didn't really work for me, they have actress Amy Ryan reading passages of Michelle McNamara's journals or even the book itself. But Amy Ryan doesn't really sound like Michelle McNamara. And they have actual footage of Michelle McNamara when she was alive talking about this. So, like, there are a lot of voices. And you kind of forget, like, wait, so is this the victim's voice or is this Michelle's voice? There's a lot going on. So just keep that in mind. But I say add it to your list. It's creepy and it's very touching. And you just...
How many episodes is
it? It's only six. Six one-hour episodes, all on HBO. So I don't really want to say it's a binge because it's dark. So, but it's at least like the kind of binge where you could do one a night over the course of a week or something. You don't really want to like spend. It's not like how Fumi and I did the binge of Unsolved Mysteries where at least they're all different and, you know, it's kind of fun. This is pretty heavy. So you want to space out a little bit. But yeah, it's really well made. It's just a little all over the place. So there were times where I had to really force myself to focus. So keep that in mind. So that's on HBO. Last thing, quick mention. We talked about how Clueless is coming to Peacock. I actually watched my first Peacock show, the first couple episodes at least. I downloaded it. I still don't understand how this streaming service is free. Like, how are you making money?
I literally was just going to ask you. I still don't understand this streaming service. How do you watch it?
So I have Apple TV. You can download the app. I'm sure you use Roku, Foom, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably on Roku. But so... Peacock, I still don't understand how it's free because there is a paid version, but I'm seeing all their original stuff, so what would people pay for? I guess because there are a couple ads, but a one-minute ad I can handle, whatever. But so I decided to watch Brave New World because I was intrigued when they announced it, and I actually don't think I read the book. I thought I did, but I'm watching the show, and I'm like, I don't remember this. But I actually think from the two episodes I saw, I'm going to say a quick mention, add this to your list. What'd you say, Foom?
Who's the author, George Orwell?
No, that was Aldous Huxley. But I know George did 1984, and they were similar, right? So the future, you know, everyone's either like an A, B, C, D. Everyone's in this weird kind of caste system in the future. And everyone wears clothes like from Uniqlo or something. They're all like very plain, weird clothes. But so I really like it, actually. Again, I'm only two episodes in, but I'm liking what I'm seeing. It's beautiful, really well made, well shot. Good graphics. It's set in the future. And we follow Lenina, this character Lenina, who is a B+, and her boss, if you will, this guy Bernard, doesn't like that she is having sex with an A+. So you literally have to stay in your lane, right? And so for Peacock, and that's also why I'm like, how am I watching this for free? There is sex, there are orgies, there are boobs, there are nipples. I'm like, oh my God, okay. An episode one. It's kind of like a raunchy Hunger Games, if you will. No real famous people besides... he played Han Solo. What's his name? Alden Ehrenreich? He's a good-looking guy. You guys might know him. You might not know his name. He is American. So we're following a lot of the new British people of the future while America has become a total wasteland. Kind of like now.
Sounds about right.
Like,
on par.
So when I say futuristic, it's just 2021. But so what's so interesting, guys, there are so many great elements that, again, maybe those of you who have read the book and were really good in school, I was not one of you, maybe you're like, well, duh, Mark, but this was all new to me. He works in like a American amusement park that the British people fly to go see and to go look at how things used to be. Oh, people used to be monogamous. People used to get married to one person. Like, this world now is all about instant gratification, have you are supposed to have sex with strangers. You are supposed to take your happy pill. So it's really like pretty bleak, even though it's very shiny and beautiful and very light. But so this character played by Alden Ehrenreich, whatever his name is, he's John. He is like a savage. They're like, oh, Americans are the savage. And his mom is played by Demi Moore, probably the most famous person in the cast, who, I don't know if it's just the blonde wig, she is acting, y'all. She is chewing the scenery. I'm like, are you in the same show as everyone else? I don't know if she was the best fit, but she's just this rundown woman in America, and it's falling to pieces, and the British are basically laughing at how America used to be. So that's as far as I've gotten. I'm super intrigued because I know there's like a love triangle, and so I like it. I'm going to keep watching. I would not say it's bad at all. Maybe give Peacock a chance. And like I said, at least right now it's free. So there you go. Add that to your list.
Okay.
So nice. Yeah, that is all I got. That's all we got. Keep in mind, everybody, before I do the recap, we were not able to see the premiere of Lovecraft Country on HBO just yet in time for this recording, but just stick around in a few days, or maybe by now you'll see. We're going to do a little talk about that on our social. So go to our socials. You'll see us give our thoughts on the premiere of Lovecraft Country.
I will say that I peeked a little at this. I didn't get very far in any way, shape, or form, but I peeked a little at the top, and I am here for it!
Cool. Exciting.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm so excited. They had me at the get-go. I love the premise. Apparently, it's based on the book. So we'll definitely dive into that on social. So look at our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for that. We'll do a little video for that. But let's stick with what we are talking about. So a little recap of our episode 101 list. We had Vivarium, a movie that I double-checked, Foom. It is on Prime. That's probably how you watched it. So Vivarium is a sci-fi thriller, I guess you could say. Add this to your list. We also had on Netflix The Lost Husband. Add this to your list. Then Tom gave us Succession, which I am super behind. I got to get on that. Add this to your list. Duh. And The Trial on Netflix. Or how you want to say, Tom, one more time what it really is called?
Il Processo.
Oh, sì. So that is on Netflix. Sì. Well, what is yes in Italian?
Sì.
Sì, yeah. Uh-huh. And then I gave you Brave New World on Peacock, I'll Be Gone in the Dark on HBO, and Host on Shudder. You gotta watch that. All that is add this to your list. So we had all ads. Look at that.
Yes,
we're being
did.
Nice.
That's amazing. That
there
is
you go.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, I will take it from here. So, as you know, last episode was our 100th episode, and we're still kind of riding off of that high. We are very proud of ourselves for getting that far. We thought, you know, it's been a minute since I've done Tom's Trivia, and we thought, hey, what better way to do Tom's Trivia than take a look back at our 100 episodes? Now, we're not going to do 100 questions, but we literally looked back at our past 100 episodes to see if we could come up with some good trivia questions about items that we have talked about on this podcast before. And it's a good way to figure out who was really paying attention among us three co-hosts, because if you don't know the answers, you can't say, oh, I never heard of it before. So, are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. As everybody should know by now, the gist of Tom's Trivia is I throw out some questions to Mark and Fumi, often rapid fire. Whoever answers first gets a point. Whoever has the whoever answers correctly first gets a point. Whoever has the most points at the end wins. And I must finish the entire question before you shout out an answer, or else you are disqualified.
Yeah.
Ready. Numero uno. Mike Flanagan directed the Stephen King adaptation that saw Carlo Gugino handcuffed to a bed most of the movie.
Gerald's Game.
Oh, I know.
Gerald's Game.
It is Gerald's Game. I was thinking Hush at first, and then I was like, oh, no. I couldn't remember what it was called, though.
Mark got that one. All right, so number scary. Two. Ryan Gosling was a getaway driver in the movie Drive, but Ansel Elgort was one in this film, similarly named, that was on Mark's list at one point.
Oh, was it on my list? Wow. Baby Driver.
Yep, two for Mark. Yep. Number.
I should start playing. I know the answer to all of these, but I'm just like, I can't remember the names of them.
Number three. Tom has consistently raved about this Netflix sitcom where the only one missing from a famous trio of women is Dolly Parton.
Say that again? Oh. Can you say it again?
Tom has consistently raved about this Netflix sitcom where the only one missing from a famous trio of women is Dolly Parton.
Oh,
Grace and Frankie.
Yep.
Sorry, Boom. Yeah. I couldn't.
No, that one I actually didn't know. Okay. That one I didn't know.
Yeah. I forgot you talked about that, Tom. Wow. Yeah. We've been on the airwaves for quite a while.
We sure have. Number four. Which franchise has been mentioned more times on this podcast? Scream or Halloween?
Halloween.
One for Fumi, so we have mentioned...
Go for it, Fum. Take it.
We have... Right, so I did the tally, guys. We have mentioned the Scream franchise 7 times. We have mentioned Halloween 17 times.
Yeah, thanks to you.
Can we clarify? Exactly. Can we clarify the reason we talk about that show?
No, Tom, can you...
It ain't me.
Can you explain how you tallied that up? Did you listen to
episodes?
Just
by searching in our drive.
So here's the thing. Do you want to hear something even sicker than that? So you just searching in the drive for that, right? So it's been written that amount of times, right?
Right? So we have in theory
we've been speaking about them even more. So oh my god, yeah, you're addicted. Okay, but that's a fun question. I like that question. All right, so then Tom, we have a little surprise for you.
Oh, do you?
Do you want to tell Tom what we're gonna do?
We're gonna turn the table.
Wait, what?
On you.
Wait. This is Tom's trivia.
Well, guess
what?
Yeah,
but you never get to play.
Yeah.
And we feel like you should.
Yeah. Shit, now you're in the hot
seat. You staged a coup.
So now this means that when I ask a question, it'll be between Tom and Fumi to see how Tom does. And then when Fumi asks a question, it'll be between me and Tom. So we are all gonna be playing.
Oh my god,
somehow.
This is a lot. All right, I'm sweating. Okay.
All right.
Who should go first? Foom, do you want to ask your question first?
Okay, sure. Okay. First question. This is more of a true or false, but it's still trivia.
Okay.
In our 68th episode, She'd Untouched Everything. Love our title.
Great title. Yeah.
Did I talk about earthquakes in that episode? True or false?
False.
True.
Mark on it. Ding, 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 ding.
My God.
Wow. I'm so good at this game. Wow. Earthquakes.
I'm switching it up on you guys. Okay, so that was.
Can you explain?
It was the episode right when I came back from our European travels. It was our first episode back after we had all recorded with each other.
Uh-huh.
But when we were all at Tom's place.
Right.
And I got back to LA and I was hitting earthquakes and I was telling you guys about it and you guys were like, oh my God. And then I was like, I'm going to have to move again because I can't stay here.
Oh my God.
I thought it was very funny, especially since we've been hitting a lot of earthquakes lately.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. That's scary.
I throw you guys a little.
Wow.
Okay.
Fun fact, everyone, go back to episode 68 and learn about earthquakes. All right. So that was what? Question 5. Okay, this is question 6 of the episode. All right. Which one of us had the... Let me start over. I'm nervous. Which one of us had Pose season 1 on our list?
Fumi.
Tom, what do you think?
Me.
Y'all are wrong. It was actually me.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, get the hell out.
Search it. I even was like, wait, what? I talked about Pose season 1 in the list segment.
That.
Wow.
I'm surprised by that, too. Yeah. You must have written it down before I got to it.
I must have. So no one got that.
Okay.
So no one got that. Okay. All right.
Fumi.
All right. Next one. Did you just say what episode you were talking about?
He did
or
not.
You just answered the
no,
question?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Okay. So I had news about a spinoff of The Walking Dead starring which New York City-based actor? Justin Theroux, David Diggs, or Nico Tortorella?
Nico Tortorella?
David Diggs.
Mark got it.
Shit. Yeah, where is that project, by the way?
I know. Well,
I know.
It was supposed to be out by now.
It was supposed to be out by now, but chances are that COVID hinged everything.
That's so funny. So you talked about that film? I feel like I talked about that. Wow. Okay.
I did.
Wow, great. Okay, see? We're learning all sorts of things. I used to be so good at remembering everything we did on the episodes, but wow, those days are over. Okay, next question is, I have a few, so let me pick a good one. All right. One of our most popular episodes is titled, They Were Both Very Orange. Who is that title about?
Oh.
Donald Trump is one of them. Oh, man.
I have no idea.
Wow, this is so exciting, because I know.
Oh, fuck, it's on the tip of my tongue.
I'll repeat just in case. One of our most popular episodes, thank you, listeners, is titled They Were Both Very Orange. Who is that title about?
I don't know.
Can we get a hint if it's, like, the other person is, like, is it a movie or TV?
I will tell you that it's about two people that were involved in some way on something. I don't want to give it away too much, but it's two people that worked on something.
I don't know.
All right. Another one that I got you. It was Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper performing their song at the Oscars.
That's right.
We all agree.
Why did we say they were both orange?
The way they were lit.
They had insane tanner on, and the way they were lit in the close up, they were like neon orange.
Yeah, I remember the
conversation now. Yes.
Uh-huh.
That is so funny.
We were like, wow, geez, guys. All right, so that's mine. Okay. Back to you, Phil.
Okay. My best of the decade list consisted of which three items?
Okay.
Oh, it's not even multiple choice.
Wow.
I can't. If it's too hard, I'll give you.
Hold on. Wait. I think I might be able to do this. I might be able to do this. Hamilton.
Okay. Oh, shit. I know it's Hamilton. I know it's Beyonce. And is it?
Motherfucker.
Hold on. Hamilton, Beyonce. And the TV would be. Wait. It wasn't a movie. It was TV. It would be Blackish. No. Don't. No. Don't. Pose. No. That was Tom.
Damn. Tom, do you want to try?
All I remember is Hamilton.
Hamilton, Beyonce. Hold on, I even made the goddamn collage for social media. I will figure this out. Beyonce's face, Hamilton. Oh.
You're going to scream when I tell you.
It's TV. I know it's TV. Shit.
Oh,
okay.
Housewives.
You and I always...
Housewives.
Oh, it was Oh!
Ah! Ding, 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 ding!
Oh, that's fucked up. So who got that? Do we each get a point? Half a point?
I'll split.
You each get a point.
Okay. 1 point.
That was funny.
Wow.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, my God. How could I forget that? Oh, my God. I'm embarrassed. Okay. Well, that is really funny, Foom, because my next question, and is this the last one of the trivia?
Yeah.
It is. Question number 10. How perfect, Foom. What a great little transition. How many times have Fumi and I had a Real Housewives show on our lists combined?
Oh, God.
Oh, you know what? I think that this is zero.
Interesting. Okay.
If it's not zero, it's one.
Okay. What do you
think,
Tom?
I'm going to say four.
Tom got it right.
Yes! Are you kidding?
Tom got it right. Oh, my God.
What were the four?
Tom, how did you guess that? Wow. Okay. The four were, of course, New York.
Yeah.
Atlanta, New Jersey,
Atlanta was on
and Dallas.
Wow.
Dallas. So
Who had Jersey on their list?
I think I had talked about New York, New Jersey, and Dallas, and Fumi, you talked about Atlanta on your list.
Atlanta.
And then we have chatted about Beverly Hills, but more in news, not with like Garcelle and Kyle and not.
Well, that makes me happy because I really feel like it'd be completely atrocious if the Real Housewives wasn't on
right?
any of our lists.
Of course. Yes. So, wow, Tom, you got two Housewives answers. What is going on? Can I just tell everyone?
You should be watching!
Can I just tell everyone? I even posted on our social media proof of Tommy Boy watching Beverly Hills, and we didn't turn it off. We watched the whole episode.
You liked it.
I feel like we all were a little tipsy, high, whatever,
yes.
But I feel like Tom and Jeff, one of them, even said, put Housewives back on. And I was like,
it was Jeff.
It was probably Jeff. But Tom did not say, oh, he said, okay. And
wait, so Jeff doesn't watch any of the Housewives either? Like, you are
no.
a Housewives-free household?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Tom, can I just tell you, can we just take a quick 30 seconds? Fumi and I have been texting about Roni. I mean, Tom, I really feel like you are not fully living until you watch some.
I know.
This show is brilliant. An Emmy snub.
It really is. And it's like mindless. Like, honestly, I will get angry if like I'm all caught up because I just want like mindless, fun entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And I want to watch a housewife.
And I do have to say, we never talked about it, but we should have talked about Potomac on the show. I don't know. That show is so good, too. So
it's so good.
Yeah.
So, so good.
So, wow, who
You're
won?
You're missing out, friend.
I don't even know who won.
I think, Mark, you were the winner.
It was not me.
Oh,
it was
definitely Mark. Oh, thank you so much. Wow. Well, thank you all. We're all winners.
Tom's Trivia is always a fun little experiment.
It is.
Yes.
That was fun to ask the question. That I was. Have to admit, I was like, ugh, I have to look and research.
Oh, I know. I was the same way. I was like, oh my God. But then once you like search and then you're like, okay. And then you like have some, you're like making up your questions, but you're like, all right, that's not as good. Like it was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. I did have a bonus. Do you want me to ask my bonus?
Sure.
Real quick? Okay. How many of us had MoviePass?
All of us.
Oh, we all did.
Yes, we did. Okay, good. You got it. Great.
Yeah, see? All right, everybody. Well, that was our episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and sticking with us. Mm-hmm. So it's been a crazy year for a multitude of reasons. A real crazy year. And, you know, we're feeling a little overwhelmed right now and thinking that maybe we're going to take a little bit of a pause and a little bit of a break to take care of ourselves for the rest of the year. And we will come back in the future at some point, probably. And when and if we do, we will spread the word. That way you can have, you know, as Mark likes to say, the party in your year, in your ears, that is this podcast. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, do you guys want to say anything?
No, other than just thank you, guys. It's been great. As you just heard, we can't even remember all the things we've talked about on the show, which is pretty awesome that we can say that. So it's been great. It is, you know, making a podcast is a ton of work.
A ton
of work. So, you know, we're going to just take a break. We might come back. We might, you know, still follow us on social. Maybe every now and then we might, you know, update you with things. But it's been great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we all work full-time jobs as well and have other things going on. And like Tom said, it's been a really interesting, tough year. And even though this podcast has been like really fun for us and it's brought some levity to our lives, we also have other things that we've got going on. So mm-hmm. we're just going to take some pause, but we still have 101 episodes that y'all can listen to.
Yeah. Please keep telling your friends to listen. Cause you know, maybe the news might be old, but the list
but
is
the rest
still
of it is still
cool.
Good. Yep. Yeah. And you know, we'll see. I mean, we are going to do a Lovecraft Country quick deep dive at some point later this week as of this recording, and we'll post it out there. And if you guys end up liking those shorter segments better, who knows? Maybe we'll do more of those in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yep, in the meantime, we just wanted to say thank you. We wanted to give heartfelt thanks to Greg for designing our logo from the very beginning. Greg is Mark's wonderful husband. We want to thank Jay Lifton for lending us our theme song. That has been our brand. We can't imagine the podcast without it. Allie for our transition music. Every time we do the list segment, she's our girl, right? That's her music that we're using. And then also we wanted to throw a shout out to Sabrina for doing all of the spring 2020 social posts because she worked her ass off for us.
Yes.
And she got us some good traction. So thank you, Sabrina. And yeah, in the meantime, you know, whether we're here or we're not, be sure to leave us a rating on iTunes, subscribe to follow us and follow us on social because we may pop in and out with different posts.
Yeah, definitely. Totally. Thank you guys. It's been a wild ride.
We'll see you on the flip side.
We'll see you on the flip side. Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. Number one, it's free. Number two, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Number three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more platforms. Number four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Pretty cool. And number five, it's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.